smell of Peterstown couldn't be traced to any one direct culprit, but the conglomerationist sense was unique. Days were highlighted by trips to the open-air outdoor market, which took up entire blocks on the outskirts of Peterstown. Vendors selling fresh fish, fruits, and vegetables amidst an unmistakably pleasant sense of old-world community, fellowship, kinship, and an unspoken feeling of age-old wisdom that accompanied the entire experience. These are the little things that you couldn't bottle or contain. Some can be preserved, I suppose, through photographs, but most tend to slip away if we're not careful with how we process these moments or how we treat them. And if we're lucky, we can still access them through memories, even if most have faded to mere still images. They exist as tiny snapshots, little mysteries with enough familiarity to be a source of comfort to those who may find such comfort in the past. Not everyone is blessed with such a direct conduit that allows such access to time and space. And not everyone is cursed with it either. Some memories are just too painful and unsettling to want to remember. For some people, not everybody's stories unfolded the same. Some stories unfurled through a generous grace, some through a fierce grace, and some are just a total disaster. Smell is a funny thing, though. Smell in itself can locate lost time and space. It can transport you back. Music is another way back. But believe it or not, there's not much music that really connects me to Peterstown. I remember my uncle driving a blue duster for a short period. I remember him standing outside of my grandparents' house, and The Boys Are Back in Town by Thin Lizzy was playing outside. I wasn't outside with him. I was upstairs inside the house. I was at the window looking down outside. I was about six or seven at the most. But I associate that song with seeing, with kind of the still image of my uncle with his blue duster watching him through the window. You know, for me, it's the sense of smell that connects me back to Peterstown. Smells such as those of the St. Rocco's Feast. The veneration of saints is one of the staple customs that many branches of the major world religions share in common, and they carry these things over from the past. Saint Rocco was a French Franciscan monk who lived during the 14th century, who was roaming around the Basilicata region of southern Italy during the Black Death in 1348. And he was said to have cured many Italians on their deathbeds by making the sign of the cross over their bodies. The Feast of Saint Rocco was an annual tradition in Peterstown and took place over a 10-day period during the second and third weeks of August. This happened for years, many, 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 many years before it was finally canceled out. And, it was just as much a part of summer as anything that went on in Oakwoods or in any of the beach towns that we visit during the summer, like Wildwood. But the feast celebrating St. Rocco, you know, it was funny because it was known to us simply as the feast. And as kids, we really didn't think about St. Rocco or who he was or what the religious or spiritual connections were. All we knew was that we were going to the feast. These were the things that, you know, most other people referred to these events like this, like as a carnival or the fair. I remember Derek Gadler laughing at me because he overheard my mom saying that we were going to the feast. The feast was, I guess it was an Italian thing. But the feast was a glorious occasion that to a little kid transformed the gritty but homey landscape of the Peterstown streets into a magical wonderland of carnival music, streaming lights, rides, food stands, games, contests, raffle drawings, cotton candy, and festive voices over loudspeakers informing the rhythm of the night. The dominant, majestic presence that permeated the square block between 2nd and 3rd Avenues and beyond was the fine aroma of sausage and peppers and zeppelins. This was holy food. And at least for a few hours a night, for that week and a half, the Peterstown section of Elizabeth, New Jersey was home to the best cuisine in the world. This was the magnitude in which our imaginations were captured by this yearly event, which may not have seemed as monumental to an adult, but to a child, it was everything. As the summer before sixth grade was waning in its last few weeks, the Feast of St. Rocco raged on. I spent most of the weeks staying in town, and I returned each night with different company. The first night was with my parents, my brother, and my grandparents. The next night with my uncle and soon-to-be aunt. The night after that with Tommy and his grandparents. And on the final night, when Mom and Dad came to pick me up, everyone went there together. That night, I won a goldfish after shooting some water into the clown's mouth and popping the balloon. I gave it to Franklin, who was much happier about it than I was. As we walked along South 7th Street, Tommy, who was almost a quarter of a block down, pulled over to me. He said, "Hey, check it out." He was standing at one of those number wheels, the ones that have people's names between the numbers. The prize was a record of your choice. Tommy was pointing at one of the albums on the wall after the arrow spun around to land on the lucky winner. He wasn't playing, but he was waiting for me to catch up to him so he could show me something. When I got there, I kind of saw it for myself. It was an album cover made up of a colorful comic strip and the eye-popping, unmistakable title, Kiss Unmasked. It was an album that had already been out for a few months, apparently. But with Kiss pretty much off of our radars, and let's face it, we really hadn't thought about Kiss for a few years. The news of a brand new Kiss album had escaped both of us. But it had been a period of coincidences, though, because I saw them on ABC Eyewitness News just a week or two earlier, as they were playing at a small club in New York City, and they were introducing their new drummer. And Tommy was like, "Whoa, what the heck is that?" In fact, he roared it all down South 7th. "Is that a new album?" I kind of asked, almost a little interested. Our parents then caught up to us. "Kiss Unmasked," Big Tom exclaimed. "Are they unmasking?" "They don't look unmasked," my dad said, smiling obnoxiously as he and Big Tom started to share in this mutual moment of both knowing that they'd once gone through hell when both of their kids had gone crazy with Kiss. "You wanna play?" my mom asked, handing us quarters to put down on the next game. We played, but we didn't win the new Kiss album. Somewhere on the outskirts of the park area where the feast took place, there was a burst of fireworks coming from some kids on 2nd Avenue. Our parents and grandparents all agreed that it was getting late and that we should probably head back. We all walked along 3rd Avenue in little clusters, the adults all together, Franklin and Christopher together, and me and Tommy way ahead of everybody else because we walked much faster than everybody else. And as we moved along, I drifted deep into thought. I thought about how it didn't bother me in the least bit that there was a new Kiss record out that I didn't have. It didn't seem to bother Tommy either. I thought about how 2 years earlier, we both would have acted as if it were the end of the world if we both, you know, didn't have that record, and we would act like that until we both had it in our hands. We probably would have insisted everyone play that game until somebody won. And then I thought to myself, quietly amazed at just how much I didn't care. Not quite knowing anything about the concept of indifference or anything like that, or how time changes you. But just thinking about how strange it was to not be so knee-jerk when it came to some of the things that we once thought were so important. And then a blockbuster went off in the distance, rattling my attention back to the surface of total consciousness, where everyone else was totally startled by the blast as well. Idiots, Big Tom called out. Hoodlums, my mom screamed. Where are their parents? Riffraff, my dad added. They're all on drugs. As we crossed the street, we came upon a corner store. Tommy stopped at the window. Whoa, check this out! A round of fireworks blasted off. The source of the detonations now a few blocks behind us. The feast still raging. I strolled up to the window and peered into the darkened store that was lit by the residual glowing of a streetlight shining in on a magazine rack in front, where the first thing I saw was a new issue of People magazine. And pictured on the cover was Kiss. Wind wafted in from somewhere in the nearby port. In combination with the river, the port contributed greatly to the aromatic character of Peterstown, which was now illuminated overhead while the sky exploded in the magic August night.